Well, we've just been singing, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. And that's the theme that's upon my spirit here this morning as we come to that which is upon my heart in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Well, I was walking the dog a few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, and I noticed that in the pond near us, there was the Canada geese, and they had hatched their six little goslings. And they were there all swimming around Mum and Dad, two little goslings right beside Mum and Dad there, and three on the other side. But there was one that was 3 or 4 meters away. I saw the next day I saw them, and this time they were up on the bank of the lake on the grass. I thought, well, there's five there. Where's the sixth one? The five were all close by their mum and dad, and the sixth one I noticed was about 4 or 5 meters away. I thought, well, that's a bit dangerous, that one always by itself. And the next time I came there last week, you can guess, there was only five left. There were the two and the three that were sticking close to one another, sticking close to Mum and Dad. But this fifth one, sixth one, that was always by itself, I can't be sure, but I'm pretty sure that was the one that was missing. It was in danger. It had gone astray. And it was at more risk of getting eaten by the fox or the otter, or the big fish from underneath, or perhaps the heron. Ye were as sheep going astray. You see, this is, we can change this. We were as sheep going astray. You see, this is all about us today. It's talking about the Word of God. Isn't just talking about things that have happened thousands of years ago and some sheep on a hillside. It's talking about us. We went astray. Because God created each and every one of us to innately and instinctively do what he tells us. That's how Adam and Eve were originally created. To do innately and just as we were always, as it's always been, innately and instinctively follow God's laws. Which is what actually creation still does. The creation, think of the swallows. What gets into the swallow in about March down in Africa that suddenly has an urge to start flying north to us? So that they arrive in early April, so that they can start building their nests. What urges them in the end of September, early October, to go all the way back to Africa? Because they listen to the innate and instinctive commands of God that he has built inside them. You never see a disobedient swallow, if you like, flying around at Christmas time round here. They always go, otherwise they'd starve of cold, starve with no insects in the cold. Even more amazing, we go on holiday to Wales quite a lot, and we've been several times to a place called Skomer Island. And in Skomer Island you will find that there's some birds called Manx shearwaters. And those Manx shearwaters, they have their little eggs, they lay their eggs and have their little chicks down in a rabbit burrow. And the parents go off all over the place in the sea catching fish and bring them back and feed those young every night. And they keep on coming back. And they keep on coming back. They are innately and instinctively driven to do that by God that's programmed that all inside them, and they're obedient to that programming. And all of a sudden they stop. And they don't come back to those chicks anymore. It's really important when they stop. And no one really knows why they suddenly stop, but at a certain point they stop. And it's just perfectly balanced. They have to feed that chick just enough so that it's got enough energy for a massive journey in the future, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But if they don't, if they feed the chick too much, then it'll be too heavy. And then for that massive journey, it will use too much energy and it won't get there. So if they feed it too little, the energy would run out before it would get there. If they feed them too much, they would be too heavy and use too much energy. And again, it would run out before they got there. They instinctively and innately stop just at the right time, and so that, ordered by God, so that the chicks are just right when the time comes. The parents go and the chicks are left in that little burrow. And meanwhile, they're abandoned by their parents, but their Creator God, He continues to care for them. And He continues to develop those feathers, the down into feathers. He continues to develop all those food stores into muscles. And in time, the chick is fully fledged, ready to go. And those parents that have long since gone to South America to feed on the pilchards on the east coast of South America, those chicks then follow and go all the way to South America, all by themselves, guided by God their Creator, innately and instinctively listening to His commands inside them to go there. No one knows today how they do that. There must be, maybe there is some scientific way that God has created inside them. The wisdom is coming from God to create it inside them. They know that, and scientifically that may one day be proven. Or it may be that they just innately and instinctively listen to the inner, if you like, voice of God with inside them that says, you must go, and this is where you need to go. But since the flood, these things have been going on with the migration of birds all over the place. And they instinctively and innately listen to God, their Creator, and to His commands. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us in Job. Job 38, there's this question that God asks Job, who provides the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, who looks after those creatures? It's God that cares for them. It's like it says here, the shepherd. God is the shepherd of the whole of creation, lovingly putting them, leading them where they need to go, providing them the food that the ravens need, and the shearwaters and so on. It is His, the good shepherd, naturally speaking, that cares for all these different creatures so that they're completely supplied with all that they need. And then it says the bishop. Now, naturally, the word bishop actually means the one that is given the oversight to take charge of pouring out His good into the congregation. So it's the person with the oversight to pour out good things to the congregation. And so in the bishop with a capital B here, it is the Lord Jesus that has the oversight of pouring His blessings, pouring His goodness into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls in this world. The bishop of your souls. Well, naturally speaking, God is the bishop, the one that has the oversight of the whole world to pour out what's necessary into the lives of those birds and various parts of God's creation to provide for them. And yet, like we saw with the goslings, creation isn't perfect. The Bible tells us that the whole of creation groans and travails. That means it's real hard work in pain together until now. Until now, when Paul wrote it 2,000 years later, still until now. There are groans. The mankind's sin has unleashed troubles in this world and for the whole of creation that causes groans in creation. Whatever happened to that gosling? I guess there was a lot of squawking going on just before it passed away, just before it lost its life. We see it with the antelopes when they're caught by the lion. There's a lot of groaning. I was cutting a hedge yesterday, and I could see on the top that all the new fresh growth was all dead and frosted off by the frosts of about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You see, creation groans. There are issues, there are problems, there are difficulties that cause death in creation, that cause groaning in creation. You see, it's a troubled world that we live in because of the sin of mankind. But we see that those parts of God's creation that obey God's order. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon of the Mount, "Behold the fowls of the air. Think about the birds," says Jesus. "They don't sow, neither do they reap. They're not working in the fields all day long to grow their crops, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." Your heavenly Father feedeth them. They innately and instinctively are doing what God wants them to do, and He feeds them. We see it even the pigs that I look after. You come along, it says this in the Bible, doesn't it? The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Well, the pigs know the noise of the feed cart. The pigs know the noise of the tractor that comes and feeds them, and there they all stand eagerly looking for when it's going to come their way, and then they relish and eat with relish the food that's provided for them. It's exactly the same every day, but they eat it with relish. They eat it with thankfulness. They're never discontent and never turn their nose up for it if they're healthy. But mankind, you see, is so different from all creation. Rather than living innately and instinctively, doing what God would have us to do, we've broken the bands, the laws of instinctively and innately obeying God, our Creator. We've broken with the idea that God knows best. We've listened to Satan saying, "You ought to know the knowledge of good and evil." We've listened to Satan and thought we could have it all. We could have much more than what God gives us. But in so doing, we, you and I, are as sheep going astray by nature. Paul is speaking to these people in the past tense because they're converted and they have changed from going astray to returning to the bishop, shepherd and bishop of their souls. You see, we were as sheep going astray. We make our own decisions, thinking we know better. Just like that gosling that made its own decision not to go near its mum and dad, not to stay with the other goslings that were nearby, but to go away and do its own thing. And we know what danger that caused. Just like the sheep that is in the field. And they see that there's some beautiful green grass on the other side of the field, other side of the fence. So they break through, going over the fence, going through the fence, going astray. But they're not realizing that going outside of the fence is like going outside of the shepherd's watchful eye. And in old Bible times, when this would have been written, people would have understood that if you're a sheep and go astray, if you're a sheep that goes outside of the shepherd's watchful eye, you're in territory where the lion or the bear or the wolf might get the wandering sheep that's gone astray. And that's like us. You see, going outside of the watchful care of our heavenly shepherd is a dangerous place to be. God has fenced us all. That through his word, God puts fences around us. Commands that keep us within the care of the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So that we can be in the loving care of God. So that we can be under the oversight of God, who has the charge of pouring out blessings into our lives. You see, our God, our Creator, he wants us to know that as our shepherd and as our bishop, he's always able to pour out blessings into our lives. But we don't therefore need to steal or to take what is somebody else's, because he will provide more than enough for ourselves. But so often, people want more. They go over the fence. They transgress and take something from somebody else. You see, mankind transgresses. He wants us to know that we have a shepherd and bishop of our souls who's able to pour out blessings in terms of marriage, for example. One husband and one wife and the blessing of God in our families. And yet people go astray and they want other men and other women with all the complications that come along from that. You see, people so often transgress and take that which is beyond the fence, beyond the boundary, going astray. We were a sheep going astray. You see, our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Good Shepherd, our Bishop, He wants us to know, you see, that we are to be in the loving care of our Lord Jesus Christ for time and eternity. He wants us to go to him for everything. He wants us to have no other gods but him. He wants us to make him our first port of call whenever we have any kind of issues or needs. But so often, arrogantly, we try to sort things out for ourselves. We transgress that first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We try to go it alone. We transgress, and just like the gosling that went astray, there was danger. Just like the sheep that goes astray in Bible times and is at risk of the wolf or the bear or the lion coming, the danger of that, so you and I are in danger as we go astray. Ye were as sheep going astray. I was going to say that at the wedding the other day, we played the hat game. Now, the hat game is a bit like musical chairs, but it's musical hats, whereby you run around in a ring like that, and the person in front of you has a hat on, and you have a hat on, but someone takes a hat away. And when the music stops, you must have a hat on. And of course, it gets very competitive. You've got to catch up with the person in front when you haven't got a hat to see if you can get the hat. Otherwise, if you haven't got a hat at the end of the end, when the music stops, you're out. Well, for you and I, that's a bit like how life is. When breath stops, we need to know that we're under the protection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like in the hat game, it's no good after the music stops trying to nick the person's hat who's in front of you. It's too late. And so too, in life, when breath stops, it's too late to come under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we've all transgressed. But the Lord Jesus, he calls us to return to him. We may be living outside of the protection, astray from the shepherd and bishop of our souls at this moment in time. But when the music stops, when the breath stops, we need to be under that protection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he calls us to return to him. But now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, or we might say of our souls. You see, there is a way to return, to go back to the bishop, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Just like it says in the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, in that Sermon on the Mount about the birds and how God cares for them, how your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says, are you not much better than they? The Lord Jesus turns the focus onto people, human beings, and is as if to say, just like God cares for the birds, he's able to care for you in a much better way than that. He's got a care package for mankind. He's got a care package for boys and girls and men and women. The Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop, the one to shepherd us, to care for us in time and provide a total care package for eternity. The bishop, the one in charge, the Lord Jesus. Both of these have got capital S and capital B because it's talking about the Lord Jesus. The bishop, the one, the Lord Jesus, who has the oversight of pouring out blessings into his people in all the different parts of the world for time and eternity. You see, when you're playing that hat game, you're really obsessed. You can't hold the hat on yourself, but you're obsessed in making sure you've got a hat on. It's the whole thing. And if you haven't got a hat, you desperately try to get one as soon as you can, because who knows when the music will stop. So really, you have to be ready with a hat on for when the music stops. And it's exactly the same in life. In life, we need to be ready, returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, whilst there is breath in your lungs, whilst there is breath in you. You see, by God's grace, we have breath in us today. We are in the stage of our existence, the stage of our eternal existence, when we can find peace with God. When we can find the Lord Jesus as our shepherd and bishop of our souls. when we can return unto the Lord Jesus as the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And you see, the Lord Jesus, there is this prayer to him, to return to him, to come back to him. And we have to come back to him with confession. We have to confess that we've transgressed. We're like that little gosling. We're like a sheep. We've gone astray. We have to tell the Lord Jesus that we thought we knew better, for example. We've transgressed. And now we see that there is no security. There is no pleasure. There is no guidance outside of the tender loving care of the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We have to confess that just like the gosling, it's a place of danger. You see, dying outside of the loving care of the Lord Jesus is a lost death. It's a lost eternity. It's an eternal damnation. It's an eternal sorrow. Jesus tells us it's an eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't just sit out of the game like in the hat game. It's an eternal lost situation. But the Lord Jesus, he tells us he came into this world not to condemn the world. The Lord Jesus did not come into this world to send people into a lost eternity. The Lord Jesus did not come into this world to activate for me the punishments that I deserve. The Lord Jesus has come into the world to save the world. You see, going astray, I am worthy that God at some point should activate the punishment that I deserve for me to die, for me to go to hell forever and ever. I'm worthy of that. But the Lord Jesus says, I've come to save. The Lord Jesus, as the shepherd and bishop of your souls, is able to take all the punishment that I deserve, all the punishment that we deserve, to him. And he is able, as the shepherd and bishop of our souls, to gather his lost sheep and lovingly carry them to him, gather them up in his arms, a bit like what we sang in that hymn 219. The Lord Jesus, as a shepherd, is able to gather us into his care so that when breath stops, we're not left unready, but we're left ready. We are ready. The Lord Jesus is the bishop of your souls. He is the one that is able to have the oversight. He is in charge of your mercy. He is in charge of mercy in that he is able to look upon you confessing your sins and say, I am not going to punish that person for their sins. I am going to let them off. In fact, I'm going to bear the punishment instead. The Lord Jesus is able to pour out forgiveness as the bishop of your soul. He's able to pour, has the oversight, the authority to pour out forgiveness into your life so that your sins, in my case, which are many, in Paul's case, the chief of sinners, are all forgiven. The Lord Jesus, as the bishop of your souls, has the oversight and the authority to pour grace into your life, to give you the blessings of undeserved and eternal, unlimited, unmerited favour. You see,
we return to the Lord Jesus because he is the place of contact. Because he is the one that has the oversight, the authority to bless, the authority to forgive. And we return to him because in his word, he lovingly calls us each to cast our care upon him. The Lord Jesus lovingly calls every single one of us here this morning that have gone astray, that are like that gosling in danger of eternal life, eternal damnation. The Lord Jesus lovingly calls each one of us to him and bring our needs to him, to call upon him in the day of trouble, so that we can be ready when our breath stops, so that we can be in the safe and loving care of the Lord Jesus for time and eternity. The Lord Jesus tells us, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will hear you. Very clear. I will hear you. Just four words, and yet the Lord Jesus stands by it. When he speaks words, he speaks them as an oath. He speaks them as a covenant. He speaks them as if what I say I do, so what I say I will do, I will do. There is an amen about the word of God. That means it shall be so. He will deliver. He will hear. And Peter writes from experience. He was a sheep that had gone astray. Remember how he denied the Lord Jesus those three times. He went astray. He did what he should not have done. He transgressed. And yet, you see, he came back and returned to the Lord Jesus. He returned in spirit and confessed his sins. He saw the love of the Lord Jesus as the Lord Jesus lovingly looked at him and said, I knew you would do that. And that's why I said I was praying for you. And poor Peter comes back to him. And we don't know the full details, but we know that he was received graciously. We know that he was forgiven. We know that he was commissioned to feed the people of God. In other words, to tell the message of the Lord Jesus to many other people. We know that he returned unto the shepherd and bishop of his soul. We know he became an apostle. You see, the Lord Jesus was able to transform a denier into an apostle. The Lord Jesus was able to, in the case of Paul, transform a persecutor into an apostle. The persecutor that returned to Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of his soul. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. What shall I do? Well, he was told to go to Damascus and await what would happen, but ultimately he was forgiven. He received the Holy Spirit. His life was transformed. And instead of persecuting the Lord Jesus, he came and the people that trusted in him, he came to declare the blessings of Jesus. And that's what we're here for today. We're here today to declare the blessings for mankind in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the worst of circumstances, I know, as I said in prayer, we've all been through various things recently, whether it's in war zones, whether it's in cancer hospitals or going through operations and various things that have gone on. There's been things that are beyond us. And that's the message to mankind. There will always be things beyond us. There is always an eternity that's beyond us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls you, he calls me to return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Just like he did for Peter and Paul. So you see, we come to the Lord Jesus as a broken-hearted sinner, a hell-bound sinner, one that I could not deliver myself from the hell that I was heading for. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to him. He reveals himself. Don't forget, I'm the one that's the friend of sinners. He reveals himself as the one that's able to save sinners from their sins. He reveals himself as the one that's able to give us a care package for all eternity. And that's the message, you see, that is to be proclaimed in the world. What about you? Ye, you were a sheep going astray, it says here, but are now returned unto the bishop, shepherd and bishop of your souls. Is your response this morning? May your response be, Jesus, I come to thee. Jesus, Lord, have mercy upon me. When that blind Bartimaeus in Jericho heard that Jesus was coming by, he knew that he'd got problems that were way beyond him. He was blind, and he said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Sorry, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus was busy. Jesus was on a walk. He was going to Jerusalem, actually. Jesus had crowds around him. But Jesus stopped when he heard that cry. He stopped what he was doing. And he asks that blind man to be brought to him. And when the blind man came, he said, What would you want me to do? What shall I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You see, he asked for what he needed. He asked for something that was impossible with him. He asked in faith, believing that Jesus Christ was able to do the impossible for him. And Jesus said, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Your faith in your inability to help yourself see, and that's important for us, our faith in our ability to look after ourselves is to be done away with. We are to come to the Lord Jesus saying, I cannot look after myself. I might be in a cancer ward. I might be on an operating table. I might be in a war zone. I can't look after myself, Lord Jesus. Mankind can't look after me myself. And we see that all the time, even if you're not in a war zone, there's still tragedies occur, like the helicopter crash in Yeovilton this week. I think it was there or near there. Well, from Yeovilton. Anyway, it was a Royal Naval Air Service helicopter that so sadly crashed, and three people, lives were lost. You see, these are reminders. Those people, whether they knew that or not, they couldn't look after themselves. They weren't even in a war zone. And we don't really know what happened. But this man, you see, he had faith, not in himself. He had the declaration to say, I've got no faith in myself. I can't make myself see, but Lord Jesus, that I may receive my sight. He went to Jesus Christ with his impossible problem, and Jesus said, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And we see immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. He was made to rejoice. You see, the response that we get when we come to the Lord Jesus and receive his blessings, when he, as a bishop, oversees the pouring out of blessing into our life, we rejoice. We glorify God. We follow him. We don't go astray and go off somewhere else, because we know, like that Gosling didn't know, there's danger out there. But we know now that there is danger. We stay close, like the other Gosling stayed close to the parents. We stay close to Jesus. To stay close is to follow. To follow. To know where Jesus goes, to know where he leads, to know where he's looking after us. That blind man returned to the shepherd and bishop of his soul. He had that confidence that Jesus was the one he needed. He needed to be safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus, to be ready for when breath stops. Well, what a wonderful thing it is that the Lord Jesus tells us, you are of more value than many sparrows. The gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, the message today is spoken to you today because you are of more value than many sparrows. We have a never dying soul, and Jesus Christ is longing to embrace us and gather us into his fold so that all of us may have poured out into all of our lives the blessings of the kingdom of God. Well, may we ask, and it says then, it shall be given to us. May we each be receivers of these eternal blessings. Let's pray.